Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
4:08, Drive Time with DeRussia. Jason DeRussia with you on this last day of January. And it is time for DeRussia Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and Liquor Boy. And I'm so glad to have our guest with us today. There are a few restaurants in the Twin Cities that when you mention the restaurant, people right away have an instantly positive reaction. Universally. And Patty Soskin, your restaurant, Yum, fits that bill. It's so good to have you here today.
So good to be here, and you're so kind.
People love your restaurant.
I mean, hope so.
Do you hear as an owner as much from the people who love it as you do from the people who maybe have an issue at a restaurant?
We do. We're really, really blessed. We have so many long-term regular guests. We're a neighborhood restaurant. We're a community restaurant. So we do get to share so much of the good stuff with people.
Right now you have three locations.
We have three locations.
One more on the way.
One more en route, yes.
That's not a secret, is it?
Well, it isn't. I mean, we've been talking about it for so long. I don't think people even believe that it's really happening, but it's really happening. Construction started yesterday.
And this is in Woodbury.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes.
What is it like for you? I mean, you've been running these restaurants for
17 years for Yum.
Wow. So the first Yum opened near what now we call Bidet Mikoska.
Correct.
And that opened 17 years ago.
Right.
And what was your vision when you first started that very first Yum kitchen and bakery?
Well, a community restaurant, good quality food and everything made from scratch in a quick serve atmosphere.
And at the time, you know, everybody wasn't talking about the counter service type model.
People didn't know what to do in the beginning. People didn't get it at all at first.
They'd walk in and they were like,
what?
Do I sit? Do I go to the counter? How do I do it?
Yes. It took some training of both us and the guests. But the service model has worked so well for us. And we still, you know, we're in the hospitality business. We still get the opportunity to love people up. There are no QR codes. We're here to...
You have an old school menu. You can read it in front of you.
Yep. Yeah. We can hand you a piece of paper, and then we bus your table.
That is, to me, the difference, right? Like, I don't mind paying what it costs for a full-service restaurant, but I don't want to have to take. Does this sound pretentious? Like, I don't want to take my plate and go put it
in a bus tub.
I don't. Like, I think Panera makes you do that, right? And I don't go there. It makes me mad.
Okay, we also have cloth napkins and glassware and silverware. So,
and that's expense. That does add expense to the business, right?
Absolutely.
People don't think about that, but that is part of it.
It's what we want, you know.
Yeah.
We wanted to prove that you can have a great made-from-scratch meal in a quick-serve environment.
Patty Soskin, along with your husband, run Yum. What's it like working with your husband every day?
Well, it's only been about 3 years where we're in this full-time together.
3 years.
But it's great. I would have never survived COVID without him. My brain is very different than his brain. I love running the restaurants and the creative. He is Mr. Technology and Legal and everything you need that isn't my forte.
Because his background before he joined you full-time was?
So many different things. But law, he's a lawyer by training.
Right.
He's been in the medical world. He's been in the advertising world, marketing. So he's done a bit.
He's done a few things.
Yes, he has.
Yes.
He thinks this is the hardest way he's ever made money in his lifetime.
Does he really think it's harder than the law?
Pretty much than any other business, he would say.
Do you think it's harder than?
To make money, yes.
Yeah.
But when you love it, it's all good.
What do you love about it?
I love mentoring young people, the employee part of it. I love the relationship we establish with guests. And then I love to cook and I love food and I love dining out. So it's pretty cool to have had guests come there from maybe they were pregnant when we opened Yum St. Louis Park, and now some of those kids are working with us. They drive to Yum on their own. It's crazy.
Yeah. Patty Soskin runs Yum Kitchen and Bakery. They are in, are you technically in Minneapolis or
St. Louis Park?
So it's right on that border there.
Right.
So you're in St. Louis Park, Minnetonka. St. Paul just opened.
It's been a year.
A year ago.
Yep. And now Woodbury will come this summer.
What do you like about being, you know, in St. Paul, you're on Snelling, right in the middle of things. In St. Louis Park, you're pretty close to a very busy kind of urban neighborhood. What do you like about that? Is there an energy that you like?
For me, it's not a real business plan when I decide what restaurant space to go into. It's really a gut feeling when I walk into the space. And when we walked into St. Paul, had high ceilings. It had 25 parking spots. We have parking at all of our restaurants. I think it's easy for people to get in and out, and that's really important.
Hmm. What has changed over your 17 years? I mean, obviously COVID was its own universe.
Everything has changed over 17 years. The way we run the business today is so different than when we started.
How so?
Well, first of all, we used to be a primarily dine-in restaurant. We are about 50-50 dine-in takeout. The COVID takeout never went away. We also never closed a day during COVID. So I can tell
you're one of the few.
Never. Yeah, we are one of the few. So Robbie and I were running food to cars in the parking lot from day one. And those things, I mean, those made huge changes.
Are you surprised that takeout has stuck around?
To the extent that it has, yes. I always thought it made sense. I never thought it would stick like it has.
Why do you think it is that way? What do your customers tell you?
I hope to believe we're good quality, fresh food. We change our menu up all the time. And young working families, I mean, I hope we're a dream come true that they can stop by and get a great meal of something that everybody's going to like in the family. And we're a convenience for people, too.
Yeah.
And we nourish your soul. I mean, chicken soup, we're here for
you. It's true. I thought people would have missed going out and would return to going out. And I was wrong. People are still going out on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But people are doing takeout way more than I would have expected on Sunday through...
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Every day, but Sunday through Thursday.
It's a convenience. Also,
it is convenient.
The other thing is, grocery shopping's really expensive right now.
Well,
and you can almost buy a meal at Yum cheaper than you could go to the grocery store and get all the ingredients to prepare meals.
It's true. So. Our egg. Now, you guys have a full bakery.
Yes.
And you bake your breads and all
everything. Everything.
Everything. Which is sort of lunacy, right?
100%. I might be a little bit of a control freak, and it's just really nice to bake fresh bread every night and serve a sandwich on it in the morning, or homemade English muffins every morning. And we literally bake every night in each restaurant.
Egg prices have done what to your mental ability to sleep at night?
Well, there are many sleepless nights over it. There's only so much we can do. Control what we can control. We've tried to really maintain our pricing, but it's hard. It's really hard right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is hard out there for sure. Finding employees is a challenge for everybody. Has that been challenging for you guys?
It's always a challenge. It's getting easier. Our goal is to have long-term employees. We love that, and we have so many. We really try to take great care of our employees. We've all 17 years, health insurance. We now have vision insurance, dental insurance, employee meals. They eat, a meal every time they come to work. No matter how long they work, they get a meal. So taking really good care of people, and they're like my kids and my friends, and it's really important to me to take good care of everybody that I work with.
Do you think the fact that you started this, you were not a 28-year-old starting this business. You had been around. You had done some things. You had raised – your children were pretty close to – college age, right? When you opened Yum?
The oldest was in college and the youngest was 13.
Yeah.
So
do you think it made you a different leader?
Oh, 100%. I was crazy when I was younger. I got so intense at times. Yeah, definitely age was on my side. I mellowed as I aged.
Yeah. Like, I think I've mellowed as I aged, and I think like 28 or 32-year-old me would be a train wreck to work for. Today, I think I'd be all right. But back then, like, no.
I might have been a little bit.
Yeah.
I could have been tough. But
and restaurants are, it's a tough, I mean, when you own your own restaurant, when there's, when a cooler goes down or an oven doesn't work, your phone rings. It doesn't matter what time it is.
24/7.
Yeah. So, yes. I mean, that's the other side of that. As you're older, like, do you want to work that all the time? You're always working.
We're always available. You know, I'm in the, to be honest, work hard, play hard mode right now.
Yeah. Patty Soskin runs Yum Kitchen and Bakery. When people think of Yum, the number one thing they think of is?
Patty cake.
The patty cake. Patty cake. Describe the patty cake.
Patty cake is a dense, rich chocolate layer cake with buttercream frosting.
When I describe it to people, they're like, what's the big deal if they haven't tried it? They're like, it's a chocolate cake with buttercream. I'm like, uh-huh. You got to try it.
It's the cake I made for my kids growing up for all their birthday celebrations. It's the cake. It's funny. So making it all those years, having the restaurant for 17 years, every once in a while, I still love me a piece of patty cake.
You're not sick of it?
I'm not sick of it.
Yeah. And when you took your recipe that you were making, well, tell the story how it got its name, how it became named patty cake.
So I taught my sister, Lisa, to make patty cake. And her friends, I would bump into them on the street and they would say, oh my gosh, Lisa's cake is the best cake. They kept referring to it as Lisa's cake. And I finally said, it's not Lisa's cake, it's patty cake. And then it stuck. Patty cake became its name.
It's pretty great.
So
it is a great cake. Do you think the restaurant version of it, is it the same as what you...
It is.
It's the same recipe?
It's actually the exact same.
Yes. And what makes it so... Like, it has this richness, and you said
density.
I'd
have to kill you if I told you what made it so good.
But it's hard to make, right? I think...
You know what? I don't make it anymore at home. I take it home from the restaurant. It's so much easier.
Of course.
To definitely...
But if people saw the recipe, they would be like, oh...
Yes.
I'm not going to do this.
Yes.
Right, because it's pretty intense.
Well, and it's just, there's a convenience factor there for sure.
Of course, yeah.
You know.
Everything's better when somebody, if you ask me, everything's better when somebody else makes it. All right. Patty Soskin is with us. We're going to talk about her favorite places to go when she's not eating at her own restaurant. So we'll talk about that and a little more about Yum Kitchen and Bakery. Three locations, one coming to Woodbury. Drive Time with DeRussia. It is DeRussia Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and Liquor Boy, continuing in minutes here on CCO. I tell you, when you have a guest come into studio who comes in with a big old cake and looks at me and says, you've lost a lot of weight, DeRussia, you better still be eating cake. There's always room for cake, right?
That's what I say.
There's always room for cake. Patty Soskin runs Yum Kitchen and Bakery. People texting in, they love you. It is, I will say, there is something to your way, right? Where you have this hospitality and way of making people feel loved and important and special. And I think that's really unique.
When they come to Yum, they're coming into what feels like my home.
Yeah.
And I want to, I'm a caregiver. I want to take care of people. The way I know how to love people up is through food.
Can you teach staff how to do that? Or do you just have to find people who have that in them?
We always talk about in hiring, you can't teach people to smile. I can teach them how to run the point of sale system,
right?
But I can't teach, it's got to come a little bit with you, how to love people up.
Is it changing? I've heard more people complaining about the fact that, like, okay, we went along the ride during COVID, but we want hospitality back. We want servers and cashiers to be nice to us again.
I 100% believe in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't love people, you don't believe in you don't belong in the hospitality industry.
We, as a guest, as a consumer, do you have, like, you have a certain obligation too to also be, like, worthy of receiving love, right?
Well, I love dining out. Absolutely. I love dining out.
Where, when you look at restaurants in the Twin Cities, where do you love to go?
I laugh because I thought about this. You have two kids, right?
Yes.
Which one's your favorite?
Depends. It depends on the day. I love them equally, but sometimes I have favorites.
I have so many friends in the business.
Yeah.
And I love them all. I will talk briefly about Anne is coming on your show next.
Yes, Anna Med.
Love her chicken wings.
Yes.
Pro tip.
Basil chicken wing.
Order extra jalapenos.
Ah, yes.
They're delicious.
It's true.
And call ahead and you can order them to go if you want to just pick up a quick dinner. So I would definitely give Anne props and, you know, that she's been chosen for a James Beard Award. Super fun to have a woman from the Twin Cities nominated is great.
What do you look at your role as a woman running a restaurant in an industry that historically has been very man-centric? Do you think about that at all? Do you take that as a mentorship opportunity?
100% a mentorship opportunity to mentor young women. But it's not like it was when I was starting out in this business. I was the only female front of the house person, even anybody in the kitchen. There just weren't women in this business.
Yeah.
Today, there's so many, it's awesome. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. Like, I think of you and you think of, yeah, boy.
Are you thinking of women? Tammy Wong?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, Tammy was there.
In the old days?
Yeah,
it would be.
Right?
There aren't many restaurants in this town that have been around as long as we have.
Right. Linda Quinn, maybe a cafe
definitely,
latte?
Yes.
She was another, like, kind of force, you know, in the front of the house.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
And now you guys aren't too far apart there. You're slightly different, but have some similarities.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that happened during COVID is the camaraderie in the restaurant business has completely changed, and it's so great right now. Shish, Beth Judah is awesome. We have so many friends in the business now that we are so close to that if anybody needs anything, we're always there for each other. We have a constant group chat going. There's about 40 of us in it.
Cool.
Super excited for Butcher and the Boar to open. Brent Frederick with Jester Group. So there's so much going on, too. The Craft and Crew guys have put together this group, and David and Luke are amazing.
David and Luke are terrific.
They are great. Yeah. And they're like my children, all those kids.
Yeah.
So love them.
Well, you face a lot of the same challenges, for sure, whether you're a sit-down restaurant, high-end, or whether you're, like you guys are, a neighborhood restaurant.
We do. Yeah, we do. And especially during that time. I mean, even equipment-wise and point-of-sale system and what can we do for you and what do you need and, you know, who needs flour? Who needs eggs right now?
Eggs?
Where are you getting your eggs? You
That's
know,
right.
we talk to each other and we help each other.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love your restaurants and I'm excited for you in Woodbury. When's that going to be open, you think?
I think sometime next summer.
Cool.
Yeah. Super excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Patty Soskin from Yum Kitchen and Bakery. Go visit one of her great restaurants in St. Louis Park, Minnetonka, or in St. Paul. Patty mentioned that Anna Med is with us, fresh off a nomination, a semifinalist for the James Beard Award. She has some news to talk about with her forthcoming restaurant on Loring Park, and we'll do that next here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
4:37, sort of an extended version of DeRussia Eats today, as Chef Anna Med is with us in studio, the owner and chef at Lat 14 and Kaluna, and for a little while longer, Lemongrass. Hard to hear that, right? Your first restaurant is going to close, but to make way for a new restaurant on Loring Park. Anna, it's so good to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me.
First of all, congratulations. You made the long list of semifinalists for the James Beard Award. It just has to be incredible to find yourself on that list up for a national caliber award.
Yes. You know, like, I feel like, yay, is it really me? It's just, I feel like it's been, you know, I've been doing this for so long. It's hard to believe that I've been in the restaurants for 18 years. It's, you know, Lemongrass is 18 years old. So, you know, it's filled with a lot of excitement, a lot of emotions, a lot of, you know, very grateful. And the timing can't be better. You know, like when things are supposed to happen, it happens. So I'm very grateful that it's happening now, even though it may feel like finally, but.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? Because for you, you've been working hard for a long time. I mean, I think we first met, I feel like it's been 10 years or so.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Yeah. I feel like you somewhat discovered me, Jason. I wasn't cool until you came by to Lemongrass. You were like my first, like, real television appearance. So I remember.
It was such a fun story because you had been doing cooking classes out there as well. And you were like in the kitchen in Brooklyn Park talking about family recipes, talking about how you went away. You grew up in a restaurant family, but then went away to college in California and came back and bought this little strip mall restaurant that was just a fantastic restaurant.
Even though you only found us because you lived in Maple Grove.
It's true.
Probably.
You were not too far from me up there in Brooklyn Park.
Yeah.
Is it strange, though, because a lot of the food community sort of just discovered you with Kaluna in Minneapolis, perhaps to a lesser extent, Lat 14, which was pretty well received by mm-hmm. critics, certainly by customers in Golden Valley. But is that weird to be working at something for 18 years and have people still look at you like, wow, like what an overnight success, Anna Med?
I know, that's crazy. Like, you know, 18 years later, right? But I really do think it has something to do with the magic of the cities. You know, Minneapolis still has that, you know, that vibe. And I think when you are in Minneapolis, the spotlight is just a little bit brighter.
I think that's right. When I first visited Kaluna, which Kaluna is a beautiful restaurant, the food is as beautiful and delicious as the room is, but I felt like Lat 14 was at a pretty similar level of excellence. And I remember talking to you about, like, did you just want to be in the city? Is this a significant step forward from a food perspective? And really, it was a step forward, don't you think, from a food perspective?
For sure.
But I don't think it's as big of a step forward as some people thought. I feel like Lat 14 was really already at a very high level of excellence, but maybe didn't get the credit because it was in Golden Valley.
Yes. And I think it's also, you know, like the audience, you know, like the demographics of your audience. You're able in the city, you're able to reach a larger audience. And with doing the type of food that I do need the large audience. And so I think that, you know, like.
Because it's a lot of food that maybe people aren't as familiar with, or why do you say that?
Yes, it's pushing the boundaries in terms of spice levels, the ingredients we choose to work with, yeah. And just, you know, calling itself like a Laotian restaurant, you know.
What's that mean? What is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which you've been getting that question for 18 years.
Yes. And I think that it's finally like we don't get that question anymore. It's like, oh, you know, finally I found a Laotian restaurant. Or it's like, hey, you know, we're going to go out for Lao food again. So it's becoming more common. And so I think that's really was kind of like the goal all along. It just took a lot longer to get to where we are.
Yeah. Do you think at all, like the fact that it took longer, had you maybe more prepared for when the time came? Or do you think you would have been ready if this happened 10 years ago?
I mean, I think like the immature me would say, yes, I'm ready. You know, bring it on. But I think that, you know, like the world or, you know, things that were out of my control, like I feel like I was not ready, you know, like I would not have been able to have my twins and have a family if this happened, you know, 8 years ago, 5 years ago. So I'm, you know, like I feel like, you know, things happened for a reason and the timing was just what I needed. You know, I'm at a really good point in my life and there's still a lot more going on. And so, but, you know, by having 8-year-old twins at this time and still managing these business, I feel like, you know, it's much more manageable and I'm able to learn from a lot of my mistakes and experience that led up to this.
Anna Med owns Lat 14, Kaluna, and a new restaurant coming to Loring Park, and you just announced the name. Tell everyone what the name is.
So the new restaurant's going to be called Gainoy.
And that means?
It's short for Khao Gainoy, which is a type of rice that is from the northern regions of Laos, where my family's from. So it's a very small, short grain rice.
And was that the first name that came to mind, or how did you come up with it?
There was a lot of other names, and I think, you know, whenever I pick a name for the restaurant, I wanted to have it be a connection to who I am, because when I design the menu, like, it's really about the type of food that I want to share. And so I didn't just want to pick a name, you know, we thought about, like, the park, you know, because it's on the park, you know, Bells in Park, or like...
Because it's right on Loring Park, the old Four Bells or Joe's Garage. Some people know it as that.
And so none of those things really resonated with me, and I couldn't picture my concept in that. And so, like, with the story of Gainoy and it being sticky rice, and it's such a huge staple in our culture, and not only that, but to all people. You know, like, I feel like no matter what your background, what your culture is, rice has such a strong, like, significance in any type of form. Even if you don't physically have to, like, eat rice, you know, like, you might have had rice noodles or you might have had rice crackers.
And so
I feel like that's a really special connection that I want to continue to have with all my guests.
Yeah. It is interesting how when you think about bread, for example, and rice is really, it's a cousin of bread, same as similar starchy idea as a foundational type ingredient.
Exactly.
Every culture has its own bread, but rice, certainly an Asian food, but even beyond that, is such a key part of so many meals and so many cuisines.
Mm-hmm.
You have memories of that was the kind of food you were eating growing up, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think, you know, like solids, when we were able to have solids, even before we were even able to have solids, you know, like that was rice that we, our parents would like soak, and it becomes like a formula for us, you know, like in our earlier infancy ages.
As a baby, right.
Yeah.
Anamed, brand new restaurant, Gainoy, will open, you hope. Obviously, things happen, right? So you don't want to get carried away.
Yes, but we really want to be a part of Pride. So our goal is to open before Pride.
Late June.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or maybe earlier. Have to follow
all
us.
Right. And so you can follow on Instagram, Gainoy, Gainoy.
.mpls. That's right.
How do you kind of go about, like, all right, you have a couple restaurants. You, with your years, have a million recipes in your kind of background. How do you put it together? Do you have a menu set? Are you traveling to get inspired? What's the plan?
Yes. So, you know, I thought it was going to be easy, you know, like the building is already ready to go. And I was like, oh, this isn't great. We'll have the menu typed up. We can like open in a couple months. But then when I really sat down and kind of looked at the menu in a bit more detail and what I wanted to serve, I ended up crossing a lot of things off. You know, like over the years, there's always a big collection. So now what I'm facing with is like, okay, I have 80% of the menu that I'm really solid on that I want to move forward with, but I want to add something else. And so that's why, you know, this Friday I'm going to be leaving and doing the 2 weeks in Asia to kind of like re-inspire myself and try to find new things that I can bring back and put on this menu, because I know that, you know, like, everyone out there is like, okay, what is Anne going to come up with? I feel like there's that additional pressure. I feel like I've kind of really set the bar really high for myself. And so I'm really excited to go on this journey and to kind of like come back and really complete this menu, just because I really want to give Minneapolis some really fun, unique flavors and dishes that they probably have not seen yet.
I love this building because you've got this great rooftop, but there are three levels to it, so there are just so many different things you can do in this space.
Oh, yes, yes. It's limitless. And, you know, like my selling point to this building was the park that's in front. And, you know, like I've been telling a lot of my my guests who are really excited about this project is like, you know, I want to be able to open those doors and like, you know, and my business flood out into the street. Not because it's like so filled inside, but I just want it to be like park and food together. Just traveling through Europe this past summer, that's what I really enjoyed about Europe was like there's so much activity in their park, so much food out in their park.
Will people come to our park? Will they come to Loring Park? Are you worried at all about people returning to sort of that heart of downtown Minneapolis area?
I don't think I'm worried. I want them to. I want them to, like, you know, for your lunch break, maybe you can make it out there, grab something to eat, sit on the park and enjoy the beautiful Walker Art Museum, or just enjoy the little pond that's right in front of Loring Park. But that's really what I want to see. Or if you come in with your families and being able to, like, you know, you have a fussy child, why not grab some things and just go sit outside and they can run around and you enjoy this beautiful Minneapolis night looking into downtown.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We need reasons to come downtown, right?
Yes.
We need reasons. And I think you'll be a reason.
I hope so. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of bringing people back into downtown.
All right. Say the name of your new restaurant one more
time. It's called Guy Noy.
It's called Guy Noy. It's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Tell you what. I mean, Twin Cities women right now. Sean McKenzie, you, Christina Nguyen, Karen Tomlinson. It's a pretty great, and then we'll throw in Yia Vang also allowed on the list of James Beard nominees, but pretty awesome. And women, people of color on that list. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
It is. It's a very big deal. It's a very huge for Minnesota being in the Midwest and what we represent here.
Anna Med, congratulations.
Thank you.
So great to see you. Have a nice trip.
Yes, I'll bring some warmth back.
We all feel real bad for you leaving to go to Southeast Asia right now while it's 1 degree outside, right? Yeah. 4:49, back in a minute on CCO. A Minnesota teenager sleeping outdoors for more than 1,000 nights. That's in the D Rush Hour News headlines.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.